amidst the Buddha, amidst the Dharma, amidst the Sangha. I want to tell a little story about myself. This happened 31 years ago. Hard to believe. I had trouble believing it. I realized it was over 30 years ago. It doesn't seem that long ago. But many years ago, I had one of these rather intense periods when I was in retreat for a while. And it started out very intense indeed. And sometime during the first few days of this, in one of the kind of natural periods of rest that you're given when these things are happening, I had it come up, you know, quietly but pretty clearly, that I needed to study or understand dependent origination. Now, you have to understand that I had very little, if any, exposure to, just a little bit of exposure to the teaching as it's put in the traditional form of dependent origination at that time. And I was actually just been a monk just 7 years at the time. And I was only about 30 years old. And it's not an exaggeration to say that I didn't know beans. So I still don't know where that came from. Maybe it was a kind of intuition about what I would need in the coming years. Maybe it was something from a past life. That was a time when a lot of things were churning around in me. But what I did at the time is I tried to study up on it a bit. Now, part of the problem was that my brain really wasn't working. And part of it was that I wasn't really ready to penetrate that teaching. I'd actually already had some of the key elements of what that teaching is about. And it was also new. And I was in such a inner turmoil so much of the time. There just wasn't enough maturity there. So for a little while during that retreat, and it only ended up being a few hours, I suppose, I tried to kind of penetrate that teaching like that's what I needed to do at that time. And after I kind of battered my head against the wall for a while, I realized this is going nowhere, and I forgot about it. Well, years later, it came up again in a much quieter way, and I ended up doing some reading in it. And I then, at that point, I had the beginnings of the real basis for understanding it, and because I'd undergone sufficient conversion at that point. And then I wrote a series of articles on dependent origination, mostly as a way for me to learn more about it. But it was still another 10 or 12 years before some of the deeper aspects really revealed themselves. And it happened in the way it always happened. It happened through experience, not through intellectual study. This little story illustrates something about the penetration of the Dharma and about what works in penetrating the teaching and what doesn't work. And what doesn't work, I have learned, and I'm always relearning, is to willfully, deliberately try to understand things. That's what doesn't work. Then you're trying to make the brain do something the brain was never meant to do. What does work is doing a lot of meditation, a lot of ordinary daily life training, and trusting that what is needed to be clarified in our experience and in the teaching will happen naturally in the course of the training as a side effect, really, and sometimes a very helpful side effect. And in all cases, as something that will, once it has had its use, its period of use, will dissolve again into immaculacy. So that we are not cluttered up with understanding. That seems a peculiar thing to say from the worldly point of view. I can express it another way by simply saying there's actually nothing to be unclear about in training, in the spiritual life. So the harder you try to clarify, the more you create the illusion of unclarity. There is nothing from the first. There's nothing that you can hold on to and grasp onto. If you try to grasp an aspect of enlightenment, as soon as you try to grasp it, it disappears into nothingness. It's gone. This is so puzzling often to people as they're learning to teach. You know, people as they're becoming more senior in the priesthood, because they keep finding they have to go do a Dharma talk and they don't feel like they know anything. And I don't know how many times I felt that way myself, innumerable times now, and I don't know how many times I've heard other people tell me this. Well, I don't know what to have to say. I don't think I know anything. The answer to that really is, yes, that's true. And sit down, open your heart, and trust what comes out of your mouth. You don't need to know anything. There's nothing that belongs to me. There's no understanding, no clarity of intellect, no truth that belongs to me. What I am belongs to the Eternal. Everything that is good, everything that is true belongs to the Eternal, is of the Eternal. And it's for the Eternal to dispense out the goodies, not me. I so often quote Reverend Master, who said, you know, the first step in religion is to get out of God's seat, get out of God's chair. There is nothing to be unclear about. The more we strive to pin it down, the further we push it away, and the more desperate we become. The more we try to make the brain do the work of the Buddha nature, the more torqued out and wretched it becomes. It's not meant to do that. It's meant to give you a readout of practical possibilities. It's for the heart to choose. And it's for the heart to clarify what is really in that readout that's of value and what is not. people have sometimes thought that Zen is anti-intellectual. And it has nothing to do with being anti-anything. It is rather that the truth, as Dogen said, appears naturally in daily life. And it's not hidden from us. If everything is Buddha, where is Buddha hiding? That makes Buddha so fine to see, so hard to find, makes Buddha so hard to find, so difficult to see. Buddha's not hiding anywhere. When we clean up our spiritual glasses, there is Buddha. And then we look over another direction, there is Buddha. Look another direction, there is Buddha. It is important to understand that spiritual certainty has nothing to do with intellectual clarity or understanding of any kind. Our master so often spoke of the blood and bones understanding. It is that knowing without knowing. It comes directly from the Buddha nature itself. Buddha knows Buddha. Buddha recognizes Buddha. If self is out of the way, this just happens naturally. We are teaching people an earlier and earlier age, brainwashing them into thinking that the key to life is found through the exercise of the intellect. And that is not true. The key to life is found through following the heart, trusting the heart. And an intellectual idiot can radiate Buddha nature. The process of our training is, as I've said many times, to a large extent a process of unlearning and of just ceasing to do the things that don't work and that we so long believed worked. When we meditate, we give the brain a break. We take refuge in that which is deeper and more real than passing insights and passing illusions. It's all just passing. It's all ephemeral. That within which we take refuge is not passing. It is not ephemeral. It is. It's not going anywhere. It is. We belong to it.